Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.
This week's episode of the Guitar Nerds Podcast is sponsored by Tone Tech Luthier Supplies, your absolute online solution to all guitar parts and upgrades, and their new Tone Up range of high-quality guitar hardware from Sever Innovations, and introducing their fantastic new line of stainless steel replacement guitar saddles featuring innovative appointments to improve tone, increase sustain, string response, attack, and dynamics. The Tone Up replacement saddles, springs, intonation screws, and saddle height adjustment screws are precision crafted from high quality stainless steel. For more information and to purchase your own new set of Tone Up saddles or indeed any guitar upgrades or spares that you can think of, visit tonetech.co.uk or follow links in the description of this podcast. This week's episode of the Guitar Nerds Podcast is sponsored by Celestion and their brand new Ruby Alnico guitar speaker. Purpose-built to create rich, beautiful, vintage tones, the Ruby oozes a richly musical warmth with mellow highs and a smooth, sophisticated mid-range that always seems to sound just right. The classic Alnico speaker shape and lush, deep red colour ensures Ruby really looks the part in your cab and guarantees that no one could possibly mistake this remarkable new guitar speaker's family history. Check out Celestion's new Ruby at retailers including Lean Business in the UK, Tube, Amp Doctor in Germany, Algam in France, Eco Music in Italy, Ibelaud in Spain, plus Gear for Music, Toman, and The Back Shop. And in the USA, you can buy through retailers like Sweetwater, Musician's Friends, AMS, Parts Express, Loudspeakers Plus, and of course Amazon. And for more details, check out Celestion.com. And welcome to the Guitar Nerds Podcast, the world's number one guitar podcast. I am your host, Joe Branton, joined this week by Jay Cross.
Hi, Joe.
Mark Packham.
Hello.
And Matthew Knight.
Oh, happy days.
Oh, happy days. That's right. And
Happy days are here again.
We're here. We're like 230-something. What, Jay? You're looking at me.
No.
Come on. Say what you were going to say.
I wasn't going to say anything.
Okay.
Right, no, I'm with you.
Oh,
happy, oh, happy days.
Oh, happy days.
Oh, happy days.
When? I don't know the rest of the lyrics.
I don't know what it is. I thought it was good you doing the baritone there.
Oh, thank you very much. Yeah, appreciate that.
Barry's tone.
Anyway, you know, it's October and it's giveaway.
Rocktober, they call it.
Do you know that in the
musical instrument trade, October, yeah.
It's
actually,
Rocktober,
because rock music is what you play with a guitar.
In some places, it's Dry October as well, which is ridiculous.
Stop, I would have thought Dry Doctober. Dry Doctober.
Yeah.
Sobertober.
Dry Doctober.
Anyway, so we're doing a month of giveaways for October.
Free booze.
Sorry, I thought you were going to go, I'm doing a booze-free month. It's like, that's a bigger joke than...
but yes, anyway, this week... we are teaming up with G7th Capos. G7th Capos have actually made us three custom Guitar Nerds branded Performance 3 Capos, one in gold, one in black, and one in silver. The G7th Capos featured their adaptive radius technology, or ART, which means you can use them on any guitar, you know, with any fretboard radius, which is rather lovely. And they're also compact and very rugged and basically way less likely to break than any other capo. Because my capos, with the spring, the spring's always falling out. I keep having to put the spring back in. But not with these. If I win one in this...
We were just going to get one of those
and we're just going to give another one away.
Oh, yeah. Anyway, all you've got to do to enter to win is head over to our Facebook page, facebook.com/groups/guitar nerds forum, and comment on the pinned post for this week's giveaway, telling me which color capo you think you should win. In addition, Eargasm are also giving all Guitar Nerds listeners a 10% discount on all Eargasm products on their website. You just need to head over to eargasmearplugs.com and use the code TGN10 at the checkout. There you go. That's my bit. What? Why is everyone looking at me like this?
You're talking.
Okay.
You're talking like an actual like presenter.
Well, it's a presenty bit. The G7th capos are really good though.
You
want to talk about those?
You brought them around today and we've sort of had a play with them. Firstly, the ones we're giving away have got limited edition Guitar Nerds graphics on them.
They've not been used though. We didn't use them.
One of them has been taken out of the box.
Actually, yeah, this one did get used. The black one has been slightly used because... My girlfriend's dad lost his and had a gig and asked me if I had a spare capo. And
what, just on you?
No, he called me when I was about to leave. I was like, and he was like, do you have a G7th? I was like, well, I can give you my ordinary one. He was like, I'd really rather a G7th. I was like, well, the only ones I have for giveaways. And he was like, I'd really rather I had the G7th. So I had to bring this along anyway. I didn't want
Does the G in G7th stand for giveaway?
Yes, yeah, that's what it is.
How many have we got seven to give away?
No, we've got three.
We've got
one gold, one silver, and one black.
Okay.
The black ones. Where are the other four then?
Joe's taking them.
Oh, okay.
Well, there's four of us.
Yeah. Yeah.
So the one that's been used, pre-used, is the black one. So whoever wins that, not only has it been used by Joe's girlfriend's dad, it's also been used by us here just to sort of test it out.
That's true, we did test it out.
So I've been a G7 user for a long time. And,
have you?
Yeah. I mean, not often that I use a capo, but when I do use a capo, it's been a G7 for pretty much since they came out. We did a little rundown recently of the different models, and G7 version 1 is the one that I've had for ages.
Right.
Still works really well. And this new one, even better. It's really good.
Oh man, they are really good. I mean, you know, it's capos, I guess, are capos, but generally speaking, capos tend to be really quite large and long and spring mounted, which means they don't especially fit in your pocket or anything like this. I understand the convenience of having something the size of a G7.
Yeah.
And actually this whole catch thing, the way it looks on, I think is really good. They are pretty much generally accepted to be the best capos, right?
Absolutely.
On the market. So
they're one of the
You get with a capo designed by an engineer rather than a musician.
Yes.
Right. Yeah.
They're one of the only ones where you put it on your guitar and you don't have to retune normally.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Right. Like normally I find that if I choose a cheap capo, you put it on there and then it's like, oh, I'm totally out of tune and I need to retune. With G7, something about it just means like, okay, well, I'm basically there. Maybe a small tweak here and there, but it's generally all good.
Ah, so. Yeah. Well, they are certainly very good. So yes, listener, you can win one of those over on the Facebook group. Head over, check out the pin post, tell me which color you want. That's a great way to...
How do they win, by the way?
Oh, they just comment, I pick. Oh yeah, I should have said that, shouldn't I?
Yeah, that's usually how contests work.
I didn't write that in my little script. Yeah, so we're going to be announcing the three winners on next week's episode. We'll also...
Yeah, but how do they enter?
I've just told them.
You just said that.
I've just said they go to the Facebook group.
You said it twice.
Facebook.com/groups/guitar nerds forum. You comment
on the
pin
comment on the pin post and you tell Joe
which color you want to win.
You want
to
win.
Exactly.
Black, gold, or
silver.
Silver.
For legal reasons, how do we select the winner?
We are going to select them based on which people we like the most.
Yeah, No,
it's going to be a random selection.
They have to like a certain number of pages that we deem accessible and appropriate.
Yeah,
fine.
But yeah, what I'm looking for is I'm going to go onto their Facebook pages, control F, and type Patrick Swayze in. And if they have spoken positively about Patrick Swayze at some point on their Facebook page,
they win.
They win.
That's not true, is it?
No, I'm just going to pick it randomly.
Right, it's great.
You're going to do it on like Google Shuffle.
There's loads of those things.
Google Shuffle,
random number generator.
Yeah, a random thing. Anyway, that's what we're going to do. And next week, we're also going to be announcing the 5 US-only winners of the Eargasm earplugs. In fact, that competition is still going on, so you can enter that by commenting on last week's...
there's no Google Shuffle.
Okay.
Yeah, but there's other types. We'll figure out a way. We'll figure out a way. And then, you know, we'll just pick the people like.
Giveaway mania.
It is giveaway mania. Anyway, following suit from last week, I've spoken about the giveaway. And now I'm going to pass it over to you, Mark Packham, because you've written in all caps on our show notes that as soon as I'd finished talking about this, you wanted to talk about Patreon.
Yeah, so I gave a bit of an impassioned speech last week about the importance.
Sounded a bit knocky,
of
really.
Do you know what? I actually don't care.
Okay.
Because, you know,
we're really violent.
We live in the digital economy. We're not forcing you to buy a product.
His fists are clenched.
If you've been consuming, they are actually. If you've been consuming this for every week for the last, 5 years? No, six years we've been doing a
six
podcast.
6.5 years almost.
And and you haven't been contributing to the Patreon. Shame on you. No, not shame on you.
I've barely contributed.
Well, yeah, and we're here every week. That's our contribution.
I meant me specifically.
You mean you have contributed?
No, yeah. I've not really.
What, to the Patreon? You don't have to. You're on the podcast.
No, actually, funnily enough, I currently contribute to the Patreon. I had to test something last week, so I had to sign up, and I've forgotten to...
We'll refund you that dollar.
Okay, thank you. I appreciate that.
What I wanted to say is a bit of a recap from last week. If you like the podcast, you've got options for contributing to the Patreon from $1. We talk about it every week at the end of the podcast. But I know a lot of people don't make it that far into the podcast, so I wanted to give a shout out at the front of the podcast to Patreon. So if you want to support us in any way, that is a way to do it. But as an extra bonus for Patreon members, you are going to get access to Guitar Nerds Live, a brand new podcast that we're going to be running. Have we decided on fortnightly?
Yes, you just decided it now.
Yeah, that's every 2 weeks.
Every 2 weeks, we're going to be doing a live show for Patreon backers. And the way we're going to be doing it is through Discord,
every 2 weeks?
Yeah.
That's quite a commitment for us.
Well, it's a mini-series. There are 4 episodes. It's fine.
No, that's not true. I reckon we just keep doing it. We keep running it. Every 2 weeks, we see how we get on. Right. But anyway, so it's through Discord, and Discord is a chat program where you can basically, you'll be able to listen to the show live, and you'll also be able to contribute either with text messages via Discord, or you'll actually be able to call into the show, and we're going to be taking live callers straight to air.
It's going to be like LBC.
Dangerous, indeed, indeed. Oh, God. So the way to do it is sign up for Patreon, anywhere from the $1 tier and up will get you access, and I haven't turned it on yet, but you'll be able to connect your Patreon account to a Discord account, download the Discord app, and then next Sunday from 8 p.m. UK time, or say next Sunday, it's this Sunday, right?
It's this Sunday.
Yeah, which is what, the 11th?
No, that's the Friday. It's the 13th.
The 13th. Sunday.
Oh, my gosh. October
Sunday the 13th.
Oh, it's the spookiest
remember, October the 13th.
The spookiest day of the year. We're going to be doing a live show. It's going to be me and Joe, probably for, an hour, maybe?
No, I mean, I've told people half an hour, but,
end up doing an hour, whatever. And, you can join in. We're doing it on Sunday, so it'll be like Sunday night for people in the UK and Europe, and then it will be like Sunday afternoon-ish for people in the States. So if you want to get involved, all you need to do is sign up. Well, you'll need to sign up for Patreon. We'll connect that to your discount.
We won't do anything.
Well, we'll get you to connect it to your Discord account, and then you can use the app on your phone to listen and talk, or you can use a laptop, whatever. If you've got a laptop with a nice microphone connected, even better.
It's going to be fun.
It sounds spooky, and as someone who doesn't know anything about technology, let me tell you, it's not as difficult as it sounds.
You did a good job.
You install the program, and then you can get involved with it.
Install the program. You download the app.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Yeah, download the app.
Right, okay. Yeah. We're good. We're there. Right.
But we'll put full details. If you sign up to the Patreon, we're going to be sending out something this week that gives a full rundown of how to get involved in the show, what you need to download, what you need to do, and some like guidance settings for Discord as well, because we've discovered you can make your mic sound a bit better. So we'll include all that as well.
Fantastic.
You could just sign up for $1, and then also you get all the back. Do you get the back episodes of Patreon?
No, $5 and above.
Oh, yeah. Okay, ignore me.
Yeah, you get the extra half an hour every week. So, yeah, there's loads of stuff. You know the deal with Patreon, but just sign up, support the podcast. You know, basically, if everyone who listens to this podcast supported us at the $1 tier,
we'd be millionaires.
None of us would have to work.
I like my job.
Well, yeah, I do as well. But, I mean, I like making Guitar Nerds and that.
Oh, okay. Okay, well, yeah, fair enough.
Okay, we would still keep our jobs, but we'd all buy suits made out of gold.
Oh, yeah.
How about that?
I want that. I want something double-breasted and pinstriped, made out of the pinstriping from, like, Gibson's Les Paul Customs.
Actual binding, a suit made from binding.
Nice. Anyway, speaking of guitars, let's talk about guitars, Mark. Should we talk about this stuff?
Strictly about guitars. None of my stuff this week is particularly about guitars, but this is a bit of a sad one. So Kim Shattuck from the Muffs passed away this week, and wanted to do a bit of a shout out. Really, it's not often that, you know, when someone in the kind of gear community, musician community, dies, that we talk about it particularly on Guitar Nerds. A lot of the time, because it's usually not someone that close to our heart. You know, it'd be like an old blues man or something, and we're like, oh, you know, that's sad. But the Muffs, for me, are like legitimately one of my favourite bands, and this is pretty grim, really. It's like...
Yeah. She was very young, in her 50s, which is...
Unfortunately passed away, had ALS, which I think is motor neuron disease here. Yeah. I think that's what it's called. 56 years old, which is, you know, is gutting. But they're kind of one of these bands that, for me... Like, you put on one of those albums and it is incredible from start to finish. But, like, not that many people know who they are. She's probably actually more famous for doing the female vocals on Laurie Myers by NoFX, which is, you know, like, one of their big...
She was in the Pixies as well.
Yeah, mate. I was going to say, you can still avoid this. This is easily the biggest thing that she was a part of.
Not really, because, I mean, she was only in the Pixies for, like, a year and a half or 18 months or something.
But on the two important records...
No, she's not playing on a record at all.
Oh, didn't she?
No, just touring. Or that might be a lie. One of the singles, maybe, she might be on.
Definitely
not an album. Everyone should check out the Muffs, basically, because they're all really good. Recommendations would be the first Muffs album, which I believe is just called the Muffs.
She was on Surfer Rosa and Doolittle.
That's not true. You're thinking of Kim Deal, who is the original Pixies bass player. She was like a touring bass player, essentially, and was left the band and was taken over. The bass playing was taken over by who's that? What was that bass player called?
Good stuff.
Sorry.
What was that bass player called that had the Squire signature? Eva
Gardner.
Eva Gardner, I think, was in
from the Mars Volta.
Yeah, I think was in the Pixies for a bit. Okay. Anyway, so go and check out the Muffs. The two records to listen to are the first one, which is called The Muffs. Second one, which I believe is called Blonder. And they're both really good. And also interesting guitar that she played as well. Gretsch BST 1000, bringing it back to gear stuff.
I don't even know what that is.
It's a solid body 70s/early 80s Gretsch known as the Beast. Because it was the BST. It kind of looks like a stretched out Gibson Marauder. Bit weird because the humbuckers are like super close to each other, but it's like a massive offset body shape, weird kind of Gretsch. So that's worth checking out as well. They don't come around very much. You don't really see them. They were kind of super rare. And when they do come up for sale, it's usually Muffs fans that buy them because it's become a bit of an iconic guitar. So that's my shout out for this week. Go and listen to the first two Muffs records. They are wicked. Sad news all around.
Yes, sad news indeed. Well, actually, you know, moving on to some opposite of sad news.
Perfect segue.
Yeah, thank you. My segues are excellent. I put it out on my own social media this week, but I've started an online guitar shop called the Harlequin Guitar Club, which I thoroughly, thoroughly recommend listeners you checking out. It's a fantastic place where you know you can get hold of loads of weird boutique Japanese stuff. So what I'm basically specializing in is all that cool 70s, 80s, 90s era sort of Fernandez, Grecos, Bernies, Orvilles, that sort of thing, and a handful of other bits and bobs as well. And some a surprising amount of Martins, actually, that I'm working my way through at the moment. But it's going to be kind of an ongoing shop with new stuff coming in all the time, and there's loads of cool stuff on there at the moment. Thoroughly worth checking out. It's just a reverb shop, but yeah, I'm really chuffed with it, and I'm really chuffed with all the stuff that we've got up on the shop.
Pictures look good.
Yeah, pictures look good. Yeah, they look great. That's my little studio space.
It's your garage.
It's my garage.
Best way to find it, just Google Harlequin Guitar Club.
Yeah, that's right. Oh, yeah, check it out on reverb.com/UK/shop /Harlequin-guitar-club. Wow, that is not a catchy URL, is it?
We can change that if you want. I mean,
when do you get that changed, Mark?
I mean, I can't get rid of the shop bit, but I mean, I can change it to Harlequin Guitar Club in one thing if you want.
I think you should just get brojanton.com. Mm. And then just redirect it.
No, that's a better idea. That is a better idea. I should have called it Brojanton. But yes, there are some cool bits there at the moment. I've got I've got an Orville on there at the moment, an Orville Les Paul Custom, which are pretty much rare as rocking horse poo. I was a big fan of those. It's actually really, really good. It's really good. Most of the things I've got on there at the moment tend to be like Les Paul or Les Paul Customs. It just happens to be what I've got hold of at the moment. But man, some of the Greco Mint collections, they're really, really good guitars. And the Bernies. The Bernies are great.
I'd say my favourite thing that you've got at the moment is the SA700, the kind of like 335 style Greco.
Yeah.
Really cool.
Yeah, outrageously cool guitar, the SA700, kind of one of the premium Grecos they made in the late 70s. Really annoying thing with Greco, they didn't serial number before 1975. So if you don't have a serial number on a headstock, you know it's pre-75. It's like between 72 and 75. Actually, dating some of these things has been the hardest part because Bernie virtually never use serial numbers either. So you have to work it out based on, like the Bernie Les Paul Customs, you work it out based on the shape of the sort of the copy of the Gibson logo on the head. Not the logo, but you know the weird sort of diamondy shape.
Yeah,
they changed that a few times. So you're looking at the shape that is, because they have different names for them. One's called a lightning bolt, and then you have to check the color of the pickup cabling, and then that will give you a rough sort of 3-4 year area that the guitars are in. But yeah, really cool. Got some Tokai Love Rocks, like the early ones.
Oh, so good.
Oh yeah, absolutely. I was learning all about the sort of the Tokai Love Rock series because they in 1980 when they started making them, they had a slightly different name for them. They were called Rock Reborn. And they only did them like that for a year, and then they changed their name to Love Rock, and they were the Love Rock models. But these guitars were made specifically exactly to the spec that Gibson were originally making them in. So they're really like a really high quality guitar, just at a fraction of the price because Gibson's not on the headstock. But yes, listen, that is my new project. So go and check it out. You can also follow it on Instagram at Harlequin Guitar Club and on Facebook. But it's cool. It's full of really cool guitars at the moment.
It's good to see a bunch of that stuff in the UK because in Japan you see a lot of it, but it's expensive over there, and obviously it's difficult to get back. And you see all this cool stuff that you just want to get hold of. So it's really nice to see a bunch of it actually in the UK. Like no one's got anything like that.
No. Yeah. Exactly. I think it is quite a unique thing, which is why I'm so glad to be doing it. So yeah, listener, check it out. It's awesome. Anyway, enough shout outs for today. We should talk about some stuff.
Can I do not a shout out but a correction?
Yeah.
It's in fact not Ava Gardner who is the bass player in the Pixies. It's Paslin Chantin, who had a what were they called? Traben, I believe, signature model.
Oh,
Traben.
I believe.
You mean those basses that had like
the
huge
mirror scratch plate?
Yeah, it was like a mirror scratch plate. And wasn't the bridge like a big one piece moon thing? The bridge the scratch plate all in one?
No,
I remember those.
It wasn't Traben. It was Luna. Luna bass.
Oh, wow. Yeah, Luna.
Yeah, the reason I got confused is also she's a P-bass player, and, you know, with very similar tastes, like 60s, 70s P-basses. And obviously that's, in this business, that's how I remember people, is like, what guitar do they play?
Of course.
So yeah, Paslin Chantin.
You forgot this time around.
Well, yeah, well, that's because the bass is so similar. So, yeah, Paslin Chantin is still the bass player in the Pixies.
Oh, there you go. There you go. Fantastic. I actually went to see the Pixies recently, do Stella Rosa and do Little.
Stella Rosa, the Fidelity Guitars model.
I mean Surfer Rosa, don't I? Yeah. Okay. I went to see them do those back to back. It was very good. I thoroughly enjoyed it. What I really liked is they literally did those two EPs back to back and then left. I thought that was kind of good. There was no encore because that was what they were there to do, was to play those two EPs. But of course, those EPs are about 20 minutes each.
So they played 40 minutes. Bish, bash, bosh. Lovely. Yeah,
in like the Roundhouse in
London. How much were the tickets?
I don't know, 60 quid each, I think.
That's fine.
Never seen them. And
really, really great band.
Someone I'd love to interview for the podcast is Joey Santiago, guitar player from the Pixies, because he has one of the maddest, most individual guitar playing styles ever, I think.
In what way?
Well, in the fact that a lot of the time he's like not playing notes, he's just kind of like making feedback out of his guitar and sure, like great. Hitting it with stuff, and he's like perfect. Not really, like, you listen to the records and you're like, oh, he's made a lot of noise there, but he hasn't really played a note.
Isn't that kind of like what Ed O'Brien does in Radiohead?
Yeah, but this is like a long time before.
Okay.
And like he's doing
I don't really know anything about the Pixies other than that one song.
Pixies.
I just don't really know much about them.
So, I mean, I guess, like,
they're very good. I kind of got into them through listening to...
When did they start?
Frank Black and the Catholics, which
I've got a feeling it's 1983, but let me... Sorry, 1986.
Okay.
So they were just, like, slightly before the kind of indie rock boom, I would suggest. And, you know, obviously they went on to kind of influence Nirvana and that kind of thing, and that's how people sort of get into them, but...
Is that... Have they, like, always sort of sounded like this? Like that.
I think they kind of invented that.
Yeah.
You know.
Okay.
And have caused a lot of bands to kind of sound like that since. But
I mean, literally, I'm just on their Wikipedia page now. The last sentence of the opening kind of spiel is, their jarring pop sound influenced bands such as Nirvana, Radiohead, Smashing Pumpkins and Weezer. It's this is kind of the nucleus of where all of that came from.
Well, I think Kurt Cobain said that the things like Smells Like Teen Spirit are like a direct Pixies ripoff, basically. Yeah.
But yeah, the kind of setup is interesting because you've got, you know, Frank Black, who is just like playing a telly and kind of just like, you know, chunking away on the chords. And then you've got Kim Deal just playing a P bass, like one of the kind of most iconic P bass sounds of all time. Really thick, kind of like just chunky. She's got the really kind of like silky technique.
It's just that all downstrokes, you know, just sort of straight root. Everything's very linear, straight. It's like chunks. These are four notes in a bar of four, and it was just all about the tone, that weird over simplistic sound. I absolutely love the Pixies because they always used to juxtapose that kind of simplicity on the bass with like the most unusual, that like deliberately out of tune guitar notes along with the fantastic band.
Joey Santiago, I'd love to get him on the podcast just because I want to know why he plays guitar like that. Because it is like, he does some real like simple melody stuff, but a lot of the time it is just kind of noise. And particularly like back in the day, like I've heard Frank Black talk about their setups and stuff, and they were just using like PV Bandits. And I just want to know like how they got such like a monstrous sound out of like, you know, transistor PV amps. And yeah, he's got this, Joe Santiago's got this kind of like Les Paul Custom that he's always used. And I'd just like to talk to him about it and be like, why did you do this?
A super weird band. Anyway, we're going to, for the first time in a long time, do a little bit of a mailbag.
Mailbag.
Now, our mailbag this week only has one product in. I'm sorry, Matt Knight, you actually haven't had a chance to check this out yet. Don't worry, you can check it out next week when you come down. Or this week later. But me, Mark, and Jay have had a chance this week to check out the Balaguer Guitars Fission Drive, which is their sort of preamp overdrive pedal. Mark Packham, you were a massive fan of it.
Hello. Yeah, really good. And, you know, it's a drive pedal, so I was kind of not really, you know, I wasn't expecting to be blown away by it. But much like the Redbeard Red Mist, which, again, has come out in the last few weeks, there seems to be a trend for, like, I don't want to say, like, metal pedals, but I want to say... self-contained pedals.
Right.
So pedals that you don't necessarily need anything else to make a great sound out of. And I got that feeling from the Redbeard, and I also got it from this, in that it's just a drive pedal that you could basically plug into any amp. Like we had it in the front of, what's your amp, Jab? Princeton.
Princeton.
And it made the Princeton sound like a pretty competent metal amp.
That is one of the settings that you can have on it. The great thing about the Fission Drive is it is actually very versatile.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, two voicings on there, vintage and modern. The vintage is kind of styled after like an orange, from what I remember. And the modern, yeah, it's got very much a kind of modern take. It's a bit more...
Yeah, it's much tighter.
Tighter and scoopier. A bit kind of thinner sounding, yeah. Being able to switch between the two is good. To be honest, I much preferred the kind of vintage sound.
It was fuller and thicker. I mean, yeah. It's just, I think, you know, the sort of things we listen to, we like low mids and mids in general.
And, well, I mean, and also we had it plugged into a Princeton with a Fender Mustang. So, you know,
it was replacing a lot of those frequencies that we wouldn't normally get.
Yeah, that's right.
But quite an interesting setup controls wise.
Yeah. So two band EQ, and then you've got your voicing switch, and then you've got pre and post EQ gain, and then a master volume as well. And really just need to kind of have a play around, blend the two gains and then, you know, tweak the master volume to suit. I found that on the vintage set, I was actually adding a bit of top end, rolling off the bottom end, and then pretty much having the pre and post like set to like 12 o'clock, just somewhere in the middle. And it was good. It's satisfying.
I found the pre tended to boost a lot of the high mid and treble frequencies that were coming out, and post was really thickening everything up in the low end. But yeah, like a super versatile pedal that I think was capable of like really preampy low drive tones right the way up to kind of really fuzzy stuff. There were some of the things you were doing on the vintage side, certainly when you were just hammering the low end, it was kind of getting a little bit cut. It was the gain stage was starting to collapse a little bit. It was starting to sound a little fuzzy, which is super cool.
This week's episode of the Guitar Nerds podcast is sponsored by Orange Amplifiers and their Tremlord 30 guitar app. A very orange take on a classic, cool 1950s amplifier. It's a 30-watt 112 all-valve guitar combo with 2-foot switchable valve-driven tremolo speeds and 2-spring reverb tank. Everything you need to deliver high-quality, vintage-inspired, boutique-esque tones in the near-indestructible chassis of an Orange amplifier. Harking back to tremolos made famous in the 50s, the 12 AX7 valve-powered tremolo oozes versatility and depth. With crystal clear clarity and buckets of headroom, the Orange Tremolo 30 is the latest in Orange's run of meticulously designed pin drop perfect amplifiers. Visit orangeamps.com/tremlord for a detailed overview, sound samples, and links to dealers worldwide.
But it doesn't go too far. It doesn't go into like crazy fuzz tones or anything. No. It's like just a good cranked vintage orange. And then, yeah, on the modern side, very much a kind of modern rock sound, you know, very clean, very tight, very precise drive, you know, not too much kind of fuzz around the edges.
And super reasonably priced. Jay, how much did you say it was?
$199.
In pounds or in dollars?
In USDs.
USDs, which is not a chunk. I think we all expected it to be a little bit more because it is a very, it's a standard chassis, but it's quite a very well-built pedal and well-presented, very professional looking.
Seems very rugged. I like the fact that it's got see-through knobs.
Yeah, yeah. Who doesn't like a see-through knob? It's a quality pedal.
Made yourself laugh with your own joke there. No one else did.
Anyway, that's the Balaguer Fission Drive. Listener, definitely check it out. It's super cool. Let's do some news.
Fish and chips.
Wait, oh right, I see what you're doing. I thought you were just randomly saying something, but you said
no fish and drive.
Fish and chips. Yeah, let's do the really news.
Good. Yeah, we're doing the news. We're already in the news.
You've done the jingle.
Yeah, the jingle's already been and gone. Matt Knight. Is there going to be a week for the rest of the year where we're not going to have to pass it over to you to talk about a new Boss product? We're going to get accused of being biased again.
I hope so. I'm really tired. Four product launches in 5 weeks. I've had my work cut out for me. And then in my opinion, we saved the best till last. I really like this product, and I've had a load of fun with it recently. The Boss Katana Mark II. This is the all-new hardware version of the Katana. Can you believe it's 3 years since the Katana came out?
No, it cannot be 3 years.
It came out 2 weeks after I started working at Boss.
That's mad.
Yeah, that seems very weird. What? So that's 2016?
2016, yeah.
Still August seems like such a new product.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, the thing is, we've actually updated it every year as well through software, but it sort of got to the point where we're like, look, we want to, you know, address a couple of things and make a couple of cool changes to it that actually I think really, because it's maintained basically the same price, that make it just such a killer amplifier. So we've added 5 new amp variations on just through the click of a button. So we, again, not having to scroll through loads of menus, there's just a variation on each sound.
Wait, what do you mean?
Where you've got acoustic clean, crunch, lead, brown, that's just a little button that says variation.
And
it just gives
you
an alternative version of each one of those sounds.
An alternative voicing for each one. And that's great. Oh, that's cracking.
The big thing was we've changed the effects controls from single to dual concentric. So one thing that,
thank goodness.
To be honest, until you start messing around with it, you don't realise that you can only have a booster or effects or effects or delay or and then just reverb. And if you want to turn on an effect, you have to scroll through the booster first. So you have to, like, your amp has to go super loud to get to the effect. So everything now
get
is
up
on...
to get down, mate.
I've done that many times, like thinking, like, oh, I just want to put the effects. Oh, no, wait.
It's not a massive problem because you would just, you just find that you set it and save it, and you save it as one of your channels.
Yeah, but the problem is that you could only have 3 effects on at once if you're dialing in on the panel. Now with these, you can actually have all 5 effects on at once.
That's very good.
Which is really nice. So they're the kind of main hardware things, but there's 2 really nice features to a couple of the models. So all of them have a power amp in feature, which I think is brilliant because effectively now the Katana 50 is a £220 Class AB power amp for multi effects,
which is amazing. So you can partner this with a GT1000.
You know, things like Line 6 power cabs, or you know, even if you go down a Friedman FRFR cabs, nearly £1,000.
Well, exactly. And think about it. I know, Mark, you didn't like the product, but I was singing the praises for the Line 6 power cab as being something that the industry needed. And now the Katana is interesting thing is quid.
With the power cab, it's obviously a full range speaker modeling guitar speakers, and it's a Class D power amp, where this is a Class AB power amp and a proper guitar speaker.
Yeah.
So you could even use it with preamp pedals.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot maybe your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Wow.
Nice.
Yeah.
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas, big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
If you wanted to, you know, if you took something like one of the Victory preamp pedals, for example, and then used this as your your powered cap.
But you could run the old katanas straight into the effects loop.
Yes, but we've added some extra controls in the software to control some of the frequency range and the level of that. So it's similar to running into the effects loop, but we've added the dedicated control in because you've also got an effects loop on the 100 and the power amp in on the 100 as well, which right. is quite nice. And then on the 100 watt models only, we've added a stereo expand.
Wait, what's a stereo expand?
So you can basically link one katana to another, and then a bunch of the effects and stuff run in stereo.
This is the coolest thing that I think you've done on this amp.
Yeah, it sounds amazing, because basically what it does is it takes one is like the master amp, and then one is kind of like the slave amp. So when you turn on the expand, it will turn off all the controls bar the power amp and the power control, and then you just run your foot controller, for example, into the main amp. And then you've got a stereo rig. So things like there's a stereo pan delay, there's chorus that you can run dry wet on. So you can run, yeah, basically a stereo 100 watt katana rig for less than 750 quid.
Yeah, that's really good. That's really good, isn't it?
So it's kind of like, you know, we've made some big hardware changes like that. We've changed the software. We've made the software a little bit easier to use and to understand. We've added a pedal board mode to the GAFC. So if you buy the foot controller with it, your presets now have a separate layer. So you can change preset, then you hit the effects button, and then it's like a pedal board. So you can turn all the effects on and off individually as well, which is really nice. So it kind of eliminates the need for having any other pedals. You can have your booster and your delay on there per patch. And then we've added things like a pedal bend, so you can add that in as well via an expression pedal. So
that's amazing. Is that a new foot controller that's released for it?
No, the foot controller's been out. Actually, the foot controller, bizarrely enough, the GFC's been out for maybe about 10 years, but it works with every single one of our products. It's a really, really clever foot controller. But yeah, no, it's when you plug it into the katana, obviously it's programmed to give you a bunch of extra stuff as well to work just with the katana. So yeah, and that's the whole 50, 100, 100, 212 and head have all been updated in the range.
Wow. How about that? But I guess there's no change to the speakers in them, so the cab stays the same?
The cab and the weight and the speaker are the pretty much the same as the last ones. Yeah. It was just kind of like we didn't really want to change the core feel of a katana, because there's loads of people that love katana already, and you know you don't want to change something that is already kind of good. You know, so we kind of just want to add in the things that maybe would add more advantage to people, things like the dual concentric controls, especially for the fact that you don't have to scroll through menus. I think that's a big thing. You can literally just dial everything on the top panel, and now you've got control over all the effects in one, so it makes it super easy.
Hello, dear listener. I'm just dropping in at this point in the podcast to remind you, or to let you know if you weren't already aware, that as the podcast is sponsored by Tone Tech Luthier Supplies, they are also offering all Guitar Nerds listeners 15% off of anything in their online shop. So you can head over to tonetechluthiersupplies.co.uk and use the code 15NERDS at the checkout for a discount on any guitar upgrade you can think of. Pretty swag.
Super cool. Yeah, what a fantastic product. And a bit of a shame for it to get an update, because I was like, I really liked the, you know, the original. I didn't want to have to buy another.
Well, the funny thing is, on the forums, everyone's been like, oh, I've only just bought one. Which is obviously a shame, because obviously we can't stop production of an amp for like a year to wait for people not to buy one to release a new one. But loads of people are like, oh, it's all, you know, it's all changed. And I'm like, well, you had a good amp yesterday. You've still got a great amp today. So all we've done is just release another model.
That's saying you don't have to buy the new one. Nice, you know, if you need an amp, the new one's fantastic.
Yeah,
I've got a Katana. I'm probably not going to be upgrading to two, because the extra features I don't particularly need, like I use mine for my living room, I don't need stereo. But if you're in the market for a new amp, Katana 2 sounds absolutely incredible.
Absolutely, yeah, what a fantastic product. Jay Cross, let's talk about the pedal that we tried to talk about last week, probably on the Patreon episode. I can't remember. Was it on the Patreon episode or the main episode?
Patreon, I think, and then we ended up talking about that ridiculous spaceship thing.
what the
Play X. Yeah,
no, it's not a ridiculous spaceship thing.
By the way,
greatest pedal of all time in all
Audibotics.
I don't want to again big up Patreon. I don't want you to have to spend money, but if you're going to check out a Patreon episode, last week's would be a good place to jump in.
Yeah. Possibly one of the funniest episodes we've ever done.
I've since gone back and watched the videos for the PlayX Audibotics. I now understand what it does, which is something that we clearly didn't understand when we recorded that Patreon episode. Turns out...
I mean, not through want of trying.
Actually, looks super interesting. It's an effects pedal that you can connect a camera to, and you can live stream directly from the pedal. But go and check out last week's Patreon episode, where we clearly didn't understand that from the literature available. Do check it out.
Yes, absolutely. But J-Cross, JHS have released a new pedal.
We decided we weren't going to do this one. Balls, there it is.
Yeah, balls
Jeez,
indeed.
Balls. Sorry, I thought we weren't going to do this one, so I closed the window.
It's because it was on the lower part of the page,
literally,
wasn't it? Would you prefer to talk about the deep space devices?
Yes, I would, because okay. I've sorry, JHS and your cheese balls. But I've been
just someone reads the news, AJ.
Yeah. I've been looking at the deep space devices Radio Bright. So Deep Space Devices is a company that sounds fantastic. But
not someone we've spoken about
I'd
before.
Actually never heard of them before. And, you know, I was reading a press release and I went on their Facebook page and I've got a couple of, you know, a few mutual friends who...
They're from Al.
They're from, yes, Alabama.
Oh, that's Alabama.
Yes, it's Alabama. You're right, Matt. Matt just fell off his chair.
I'm just laughing at Joe.
Yes, they're from Alabama, and so basically the Deep Space Devices Radio Bright is a ring mod delay, which is quite interesting. So basically, there's two modes. There is like your kind of standard mode, and then there is mod mode.
Bring back mod mode.
No, let's not talk about mod mode.
bring back mod mode.
Don't get them started.
So in the regular position, basically the ring mod just goes onto the trails of your delay.
That's quite interesting.
Yeah, it
is. I'm kind of into that.
Yeah, I thought it was a really neat little feature. But if you're, you know, big into your ring mods, so Joe, I'm literally looking at you.
I use a ring mod often.
So what you can actually do is you can switch kind of the emphasis so that the emphasis will be on the ring mod as opposed to being the delay with the ring mod in the trails. You can make it so that the main focus is on the ring mod itself with the delay being a secondary part of the pedal itself. Seems really, really cool. So you've got a couple of different waves for the... for the ring mod.
You've got square and saw, which are kind of standard for your ring mods. The two foot, because it's a dual foot control pedal, is that one for the tails and one for the main ring mod?
I don't know.
Like a tap?
It isn't really very clear, to be completely honest with you. I have tried reading the press release. I've also been on the website and it just doesn't seem to be particularly clear. Oh, here you go, foot switches. The right foot switch is momentary. And so basically your left foot switch is on off for the pedal and then the right switch, momentary foot switch that slowly ramps the delay feedback. Oh. So basically it self-oscillates like the RE20.
Oh, yes, that's what I want. Yeah. That sounds really cool.
Yeah. So really cool. I'll tell you the downside to Deep Space Devices. Right. And that is when I went onto Facebook to look up their page just to see if I could find out a little bit more about them. The first two words of Deep Space Devices is deep space. And of course, that led me into one of the other suggestions that came up was Deep Space Nine Fan Club. And so basically, whilst you guys have been talking, I've been on... I just got distracted completely.
This is why we couldn't talk about the cheese balls.
Yes, because right. I was looking at Deep Space Nine memes, essentially. So,
but it's a super cool pedal, top-mounted jacks, and, you know, a really cool design. It seems like a smart...
It looks great. I mean, the artwork is fantastic, which, as we all know, is the most important part of any pedal.
Absolutely. It's where the tone is.
Exactly. Yeah. It's all those paint flecks. I think this looks great. Really, really interesting. I don't know if they have that much in the way of distribution over here because I've never heard of the brand. No, I mean, maybe I'm just a fool and they are very popular. But I've never heard of them before. I've never seen them in a shop before.
$199 US dollars as well, price wise. That's really good.
It seems pretty good for a pedal that's doing, you know, a fair amount of different stuff. So yeah, something interesting. Definitely one to look out for.
Oh, one of their artists is "The World Is a Beautiful Place and I Am No Longer Afraid to Die." Mm. I was just seeing if they were being played by people, which is pretty cool. Great band.
I put them on once.
Oh, did you? Mm-hmm. Oh, I really like that band.
Yeah, it was a great show.
Which version of that band?
The
did they have their singer at that point or poet guy?
Poet guy.
They did. I hate all of your music.
Oh, okay,
you just,
right, don't worry.
You just saying "poet guy" makes me think I hate you so much.
They had a guy doing spoken word on the top of one of their.
I hate you so much.
I don't know.
No, that was a really good record. I thoroughly enjoyed it.
I think you might be mistaken between.
I'm not. I'm 100%. They did one album with a vocalist.
Okay. Well, yeah. They're not like a. They're not an instrumental band. It was the, as far as I'm aware, the original lineup. I put them on just after the first record came out.
Oh, right.
I really like, really great band. Yeah. Very good band. Yeah,
absolutely.
I mean, they're called "The World Is a Beautiful Place and I'm No Longer Afraid to Die." I mean, it basically sounds what you expect it to.
Yeah, I thought
so.
Yeah.
Mark Packham.
Hello there.
You like the Beatles.
Okay, this is not the pedal I thought you... Why are you doing these in a completely random way?
Yeah, that was my issue as well.
You're supposed to have read up on these in advance.
Joe, you've got to remember that we've all got real jobs. And so the first time we look at the notes is after we've eaten and before we've started. Okay. And as soon as we sit down, you're like, right, everyone, let's go.
Okay, Mark Packham, why don't you tell me about the Electro Harmonix Overlord?
Right, if I said to you, three band active EQ... with wet dry mix, gain control, volume, and switchable mode, like normal or boost, plus input sensitivity for keyboards, line inputs, or guitar.
Yeah.
And then I said to you, £73.
Crikey.
You would say,
I'd say that's heavy.
You would say that sounds great.
That sounds heavy.
British pounds, GBP.
Oh, wow.
Electro-Harmonix have re-released. Well, not re-released. It's a new release. The Operation Overlord Nano. So Operation Overlord was there. It was like a dual size. I forget what they're called now.
It was a big old pedal.
What are the bigger ones called?
It was the one that the MicroPog is in.
Yeah,
Neo.
Yeah, Neo. It was what? No, isn't Neo still small?
No, they had XO.
XO, that's the ones.
Executive Officer.
Yeah, so the Operation Overlord initially launched, I believe, at the beginning of this year, maybe. It was NAMM, something like that.
I think it was a bit longer than that, last year.
And it was in the XO casing. The reason being primarily was that it was a stereo pedal, with the idea being that you could use it for guitar, you could use it for keyboards, use it for drum machines, because it's got a very, very powerful EQ and a good range of sounds. So the idea being you could use it for everything, essentially.
Versatility.
Unsurprisingly, it seems, I would take a guess that most people that bought them were guitar players and probably only wanted it in the mono format, which meant that that box is too big for most people's pedal boards. So, as they are wont to do, Electro-Harmonix have downsized into the nano format and kept most, if not all, of the original features. So, yeah, three-band active EQ, wet-dry mix, gain control, master volume, and then two different switchable modes, normal and boost. Described in the press release, normal has a low to medium overdrive, and the extra stage being like adding another stomp box overdrive in the front end.
Oh, that's quite cool.
And yeah, I mean, as always with Electro-Harmonix, you know, there's so much variety in their range. You know, it's why would you pick the Operation Overlord over any of the other drives they do?
Oh, but the versatility on this, this is kind of more a Sanzampier.
Totally. And I actually, you know, I kind of think it's called like Overlord because it's almost overkill. There's too much on there. But again, £73.
Yeah.
You know, it's like...
I mean, that's kind of everything that you want. You've got a three-band EQ, crucially that wet-dry mix. Obviously, you've got your gain and volume control. Actually, foot-switchable boost as well. So you don't even have to switch between those two settings. You don't have to choose between them on the permanent. You can have that... On a separate footage as well. I think this is a really great product.
Yeah, you can actually.
Yeah, £70, this is a fantastic product.
Yeah, so you can connect basically a one-button foot switch to it and have switchable boost on off.
That's great. Yeah, yeah. That is an awful lot of bang for your buck.
Yeah, totally. I can see this being a sort of pedal that someone would walk into a guitar shop, say, I don't know what to buy, I just want a versatile drive pedal. I've got £80 to spend. You're right on the money. This is ideal.
I tell you, I think that's a shame about this. Is it's not going to be able to be considered for Gear of the Year.
Why is that?
Because
it's come out this week.
Because the Electro-Harmonix Tri-Parallel Mixer has already won the category of best pedal.
As I've mentioned in the last few weeks, and not even unveiled to you guys yet, we've changed the format. Or I specifically have changed the format of Gear of the Year. So there may be a chance for two pedals from the same brand to compete.
Oh, is this how we're going to make sure that Boss and Fender
win everything?
Yeah.
Gotcha. Okay, fine, I'm in.
That's good.
Yeah. In all seriousness, though, I really want to try a tri-parallel mixer. It just seems like a great piece of kit.
What was the tri-parallel mixer?
The tri-parallel mixer, Joe.
I think the clue is in the name, Joe.
Is a parallel mixer with three inputs, believe it or not.
So you can just plug three guitars into one pedal?
No, it's like three effects loops in one pedal.
So I could plug three pedals into that pedal and then control them via that pedal.
You can just use it as like a A, B, Y... Z.
M.
Z.
I put an M in there, probably, because there's lots of ups and downs. Basically, what you can do is you can have three pedals plugged in at once, and you can run those three pedals
in any order
in parallel to your dry guitar signal.
Right.
But I assume you could also just not plug the return in and send your guitar signal out to three separate
amps. Yes,
it's a way of adding a wet dry mix to a pedal that doesn't have a wet dry mix.
Yeah. Exactly that.
But three pedals at once.
Three pedals at once.
I can do that with three pedals.
Yes. Right. And the reason that I think this is good is because, as we have, if you'd ever listened to me say anything, Joe, you would have known that I really like the Interfax Harmonic Percolator, but I find it difficult to use because it's so overpowering and destructive.
It is very all-encompassing.
And the other thing that everyone knows about me is the P-bass sounds great.
Right.
That's the thing people know about me.
Yeah.
It's the P bass sounds great.
You do have a nice P bass.
Well, thank you. And I want to be able to hear my nice sounding P bass alongside the destructive sound of the harmonic percussion.
Yeah, I can understand. It just seems like quite a large pedal to it just for the sake of a wet dry mix.
There's three effects loops in there. Do you know how big those things are? Of course it's big.
Yeah.
It's got to fit three in there. Three effects loops.
Fair enough.
Can you believe he doesn't know how big an effects loop is?
Anyway, speaking of fantastic pedals, good segue.
Terrible.
Hudson Electronics. You've actually got one sitting next to you, J-Cross. You've got Hudson Electronics Broadcast. Fantastic pedal.
It's got a big switch on it. Listen.
It's a great switch. That is really
a fulfilling sound.
Hey, it sounds like we're running a click track through the whole podcast.
Zing!
Zinger. Yeah, the Hudson Electronics Broadcast, what an absolutely fantastic pedal available. They did a limited edition run of pink ones, didn't they?
They did. Either
Peach or Joe's pedals. I can't remember who had the limited edition colour.
Something like that.
So one of those two. But it was an absolutely fantastic pedal. Hudson Electronics have just unveiled an Ariel Posen signature broadcast AP preamp pedal, which is very cool. Kind of a similar thing to the broadcast, just with some of the controls altered and some of the sort of the tonal elements altered to be in line with what Posen was after. So
the biggest thing is germanium to silicon.
That's a big thing. That is obviously a big
I can't believe you just stole your
big reveal. That's fine. I don't mind. Matt can do that. Matt can do that. That's fine. But basically, what that means, listener, is it's more designed for kind of low gain drive, and it's going to have sort of a less flubby, slightly tighter, less drivey low end. It's going to be smoother, super smooth, and it comes with less controls actually. So I think all you have is a gain and a level, and then you've got that very lovely flick switch. Gain control that Mark was just messing around with on our broadcast. That's the one. Yeah, but what a fantastic is a great pedal. This is a really cool adjustment to a pedal that's great anyway. I kind of think the normal broadcast is perfect. I want to hear this Ariel Posen one to see if I like it, but I'm a massive fan of low gain drives and sort of preampy things rather than anything that's, you know, too full on. So this could well be an alteration that I'm a big fan of. I think it could be great. What do you think, Matt? What do you think it's going to be?
Well, if it's anything like the original broadcast, I think it's going to be pretty damn good. Basically,
yeah. Well, it's
I mean, the thing is obviously every time you hear Ariel Posen play, it's kind of like I mean, that dude is making a baritone steel guitar sound absolutely amazing.
Yeah.
And to most people, it's, you pick something like up and it's bulky and heavy and they don't really sustain very much in the kind of, when I've tried anything like that before. So I think this kind of offers that drive pedal in conjunction with that, just gives them that right amount of growl, especially for kind of slide playing as well. So, and I think the thing is, this is an Anderton's exclusive as
it
well.
Is,
so
yeah,
no
right.
doubt it's going to sell out pretty damn quick.
Oh yeah. So UK exclusive. I'm sorry, people in the rest of the world, but Hudson Electronics, honestly, if you're in the UK or anywhere else, you've not heard of them before, check them out. Their entire pedal range is absolutely fantastic and shockingly reasonably priced, considering the build quality and the incredible sound quality you get from their sort of entire range of pedals. Very, very good indeed. Matt Knight, let's talk about Dr. Z.
Dr. Z.
Let's talk about Dr. Z.
Dr. Z, you know what? I love Dr. Z amps, and Dr. Z amps was the first boutique amp I think I ever owned.
Do you still own a Dr. Z?
I don't. No, I've had...
What did you have? A red one? You had a red
one. I've had a couple of the Maz Juniors and a Maz Senior, and... I think I've had one other one, and in the shop for a while we had a Route 66, which was their 2KT66, like 45 watt one control amplifier.
Kind of a similar sort of thing to that. What's the brand of amp that you have now?
Morgan.
The Morgan. Kind of a similar thing?
Yeah, no, the Dr. Z's I always find are like the ultimate kind of spanky American amplifier, if you want to put it in some way. They're kind of bright, they're really sharp sounding. I guess kind of like the ultimate Fender. I think they're totally unique, actually. I wouldn't say they're really ever kind of based off anything. But the Jetta, which is their new one, is a 30 watt combo. Now they're using American words here for the valves, because I know of the English American valves are pretty much the same, but they use different like code. So they're saying the output tunes are 759 ones. I'm not 100%. Yeah, I'm not
7591.
Yeah, I'm guessing it's like an EL3484, something like that. I don't know.
I'm not sure that's true, actually, this case. I'm just looking at Watford Valves, who are kind of like the go-to people for finding valves in the UK. And actually, I can't see them called anything other than that.
Yeah, no, JJ Tesla 7591A or 7591S. Tesla valves.
That means you don't even need to plug them in. They're wireless.
Genius.
You just keep them in a box in the other side of the room and they'll just work.
That is smart.
Yeah, well, you know, smart fella.
Originals have been hard to find, so these are kind of the best modern alternative. Bright top end guitar amplification, which is where this amp comes in. So 2 7591 valves, 2 12AX7s, and 1 5AR4 rectifier, and then a simple volume tone master volume.
Oh yes, I love it. I love a simple front end.
I mean, this is the thing. These amps are always dead simple. They sound really, really good. I mean, if you're a Strat or a Teddy player, they are incredibly bright. So they work really well with things like Les Pauls and stuff, where they break up not too early, but you do have to get some volume out of them. And this one has a Metro Zero Loss Effects Loop, which I'm guessing they've sort of taken that idea from the Brad Paisley one that they did. So you can crank the amp up to max, but you can still run your sort of delay, modulation, reverb pedals in the effects loop. And actually, their most affordable one of the entire range. This one is coming in introductory price at $1,399 for a 1x12 Celestion made H30 speaker and weighs £34.
That is a very, very good price for something as cool and boutique as a Dr. Z.
I've never had a problem with a Dr. Z amp. I think they're absolutely wicked. They make great cabs as well. The Maz series are the ones that I've had before. But the Route 66 was really, really killer. They actually, one thing they make still, which I really want, is the Z-Verb, which is their reverb tank, their 6v6 driven reverb tank.
Oh, lovely. What, like a head style reverb tank?
Yeah.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. With a dwell control, mix and tone. Looks amazing.
Oh, that's what comes in silver. How much do they cost?
They are, I think they're about $699.
Oh, that's okay. That's okay. Sometimes those like head reverb tanks tend to be like over the £1,000 mark, and it would look cool and it would sound cool, but you know that a pedal's going to do a really good job for 200 quid.
I know, because recently with the Olsen amp, I'm sort of missing a bit of reverb that I'm used to on the Morgan. So I'm like, oh, it's got an effects loop. Maybe I should get some sort of ridiculous reverb tank.
Oh, that's a good idea. Well, I tell you what, when you come down, you know what you should take back with you? Because you're coming down to hang out with me later this week.
Yes, I can't wait.
But you should take back with you the... the Anasound LeBrute reverb.
Ah,
bar.
Yes,
very cool.
Yes, and you can some. Is it got like mount? Hasn't it got mounting screws or something so you can
it
mount
does.
It to the back?
Yeah,
of your
you
amp?
Can rack mount it. Yeah, or
that is cool.
Mount it to your amp.
Yeah, that way. Sounds good. Yeah, I want to try that. So yeah, I think you know, just going back to the Z, amazing amps. If you haven't tried one before, I think Peach Guitars are the only dealer. I think that actually do Peach in the UK. Might be a couple of others now. I think maybe Coda on that as well. But they make some amazing amps and definitely worth checking out. So yeah, that's the Jetta.
Very cool indeed. Now that actually brings us up to time here on the regular episode of the Guitar Nerds
about
podcast.
The cheese balls.
I know. Well, who knows? We might even talk about it. Maybe on this week's Patreon.
Let's do it on the Patreon.
Yes, we will be continuing over the Patreon, where for as little as $1 a month, you can support the podcast. $1 a month gets you the regular episode ad-free and early, and of course, gets you into Guitar Nerds Live. $5 a month gets you the Patreon episode and loads more. And $10 makes you an executive producer and gets your name read out in a song that I will sing at the end of this episode. It's going to be absolutely lovely. You can follow us on Instagram and Twitter at Guitar Nerds. Join us on Facebook at facebook.com/groups/Guitar Nerds Forum. And you subscribe to our YouTube channel.
You can't even read the script when it's written down for you.
All right. It's because you guys are really looking at me today. Every time I have to read something scripted, it's like you're staring through me. Anyway, you can follow us on YouTube. You know,
why do you need
know
a script?
How to do that. Anyway. What? Because I want to
make
sure
I thought you were a child actor. I want to make sure I get lines to learn.
I'm trying to make sure I hit all the points that I need.
You've been doing this for like a year.
Yeah, well, fine. Anyway, that's it for us this week. We'll be continuing over on the Patreon. Take it easy. Farewell.
Fine. Bye.
There is Christopher Franklin, Marcus Al-Kadawaki, Rob Busto, Stephen Burke, Rob Butterworth, Neil Milton, Maren Peter Stewart Robson, Jeffrey Watson, Christian Lund Hansen, Zach Melton, Keith Adams, and Steve Ferguson. Yes. Eric File, Andy Joyce, John Anglin, Adam Royce, Chris Jacob Moore, Rob Grew, Scott Hamilton, and Tucker Ramadan. Yeah. Ernie Cooper, Zed Woods, Nate Nagel, Stephen Hench, Rob Grant, Matt Roberts, Dave Lee,
Roberts,
Emery James
Baker.
Yeah. One Courier, Aaron Sherman, Blake Wyland, Good, Jamie Kempen, Jake Gray, Matt Bellamy, Martin Cliff, Scott Kennedy, Christopher Losset, Hans Hans, Robin Smith, Derek Rich, Rob Nordwick, and Chris Connors, Ed Bentley, Steve Michael, and Carlos Mantra, Annie McKenzie, Brad Page, and Blair Toms, Scott O'Brien, Laurie Anstis, Paul Corrigan, and Will Clare, Mugravet, Phil Thompson, Adrian Day, and Ken Sayers, Matthew King, Scott Kane, and Sean Arbo, Christopher Wolfman, Cuthbertson.
Bonkers.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Late bloomers tend to have more curiosity. They tend to have more resilience.
There are stories and mythology that this country has woven around Black men.
This is the cavalry, right? These are the leaders, the hometown heroes and local leaders. And we are.
It's a survival mechanism to just be like wary of the police.
What if everything we've been taught is just all wrong?
What's worth more than this fear right now?
And that rising after failure is part of the glory of being a human being.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.